Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online. We're at kpcg.fm. And we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Our programming is also available in podcast form. You can find those podcasts at thetrumpet.com, kpcg.fm, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. Well, most of us have grown up in a time that is utterly unique in man's history. A very unique time, a time that's different from any time before it. And what is it that makes our time so unique today? Well, we live in the time of nuclear weapons. The atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki towards the end of World War II shocked humanity. If you've read history about that or you've seen some footage of events around that time, you know what a shocking event that was. People had never seen such power unleashed before. Mankind making weapons that could decimate cities. Such massive destruction. And the weaponry has advanced since then. We can't take the urgency of our time for granted. We live in this time, and so it's easy to get used to it. But we can't take the urgency of the time that we're in for granted. Consider this reality. This is from UCSUSA.org. It says, it would take a land-based missile about 30 minutes to fly between Russia and the United States. 30 minutes. A submarine-based missile could strike in as little as 10 to 15 minutes after launch. Do we think much about that? I mean, any given moment, we're about, what, 10, 15 minutes, 30 minutes away from a missile reaching the U.S. or Russia. And now, I mean, we hope, of course, that there wouldn't be anything like that that would occur, but it could. Do we think much about that reality? Will anything like that ever happen? Will there be war on that scale? And we live in the shadow of possible nuclear attack. We've grown up under that in most cases. And we would be terrified if we didn't understand Bible prophecy. We'd be terrified if we thought about this too much. Or, as many people do, we might go the other way. We might just bury our heads in the sand and follow the thinking that's described in Isaiah 22 and verse 13, where it says, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Some people take that line of reasoning. Well, I know it's bad. It's, you know, bad things could happen, so I'm just going to enjoy today. There's different types of thinking there, but in both cases, whether people are just terrified or whether they ignore the trouble that's on the horizon, neither one of those is the clear thinking and understanding we need. We need to understand Bible prophecy. We need to understand the times in which we live. We live in a different time than those of 100 years ago. At the end of World War II, General Douglas MacArthur gave a warning to mankind. He's quoted in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is a free course. It's at thetrumpet.com. Please sign up for that if you don't have it. But he said, and again, this is at the end of World War II, he said, "We have had our last chance." Speaking of humanity, we've had our last chance, he said. "If we will not devise some greater and equitable system, our Armageddon will be at our door." Now, again, keep in mind, this is General Douglas MacArthur. He's not just opining here. He saw war firsthand. He dealt with it. He saw it up close and personal. It dominated his life. And he knew that we'd had our last chance. Mankind couldn't get into a war like that again. He said the problem basically is theological and involves a spiritual recrudescence, an improvement of human character that will synchronize with our almost matchless advances in science, art, literature, in all material and cultural developments of the past 2,000 years. It must be of the Spirit, he said, if we are to save the flesh. So, again, there has been an advancement in many things, technology, weaponry, many things, conveniences. But he said there has to be a change, there has to be an advancement, an improvement in the way that mankind thinks, the way humans think. General MacArthur understood, on some level, that the heart of man had to change. And that's one of the hardest things to bring about, change in someone's thinking, change, a change of heart, a change of mind. You know, if you think about Cain killing his brother Abel in Genesis, that type of thinking, that type of attitude, that type of hatred and selfishness, it's the same thinking and attitude and selfishness that causes nations to go to war with other nations. It's the same thinking that caused one murder. If it's carried out further, that same thinking will cause millions of murders if the weapons are available. The spirit, the thinking, the attitude, that's the issue. The heart of man has to change if we're ever going to come to a peace, real peace. The heart of man has to change. The Correspondence Course notes that our only hope is building human character, changing man's evil nature into God's righteous character. Changing man's evil nature into God's righteous character. That's what has to happen. Notice this passage in Matthew 5. We have a few passages today, so if you do have a Bible available, it'd be great to get it out. We could look at these together and see what God's Word says about this topic, about the cause of war, how to have peace, the times in which we live. Matthew 5 and verse 48, it says, "Be you therefore perfect," this is Christ talking, "even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." So that's the goal that Christ gives to every true Christian. Become like God. Become more like God the Father. Become perfect like He is. Develop the character of God. It takes God's character to have peace. Now, it takes time, of course, and it takes God's Spirit working in a person's life to develop God's character. But that's the goal. That's the direction we have to be heading. We have to be becoming more like God each day. And when you look around this world, do you see much of that? Certainly not. We see a lot of division and fighting and warring, but we don't see people becoming more like God outside of God's work. And what's the alternative? You know, if a person is not becoming more like God, what are they becoming more like? Satan. Satan, thinking like Satan thinks. Notice this in John 8 and verse 44. Christ just being very blunt here in speaking to some of the people of his time that were going against God, that were fighting him. He said, "You are of your father, the devil." Remember, we just read in Matthew 5 and verse 48, we're to become perfect as God our Father is perfect. But to these people, he says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do," or "you will to do them, you want to do them." It says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know, war comes about from lies, the spirit of lying, the spirit of murder, that sort of hatred and selfishness, that attitude that Satan has, that he broadcasts to mankind. That's where the spirit of murder comes from. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, General MacArthur, he didn't talk about Satan in his address directly and how Satan broadcasts moods and impulses of lying and murder. He didn't talk about that, but he did understand that man had to change the way he thought. If there was ever to be peace, how about in your individual life? Sometimes if we're thinking about a global war or global peace, it can be big, and it's a big topic, and so we can sort of look at it in more of a scholarly way, I suppose. But it's very practical. What about in our individual lives? Do we have peace? Do we have war? Are we becoming more like God, or do we drift and become more like Satan? What's the spirit that's directing our thinking? You know, war on a global scale or on a national scale, it starts with war between two people. And peace is going to start with peace between people. One, two, three, four, on and on. And of course, God's government bringing an end to wars when Christ returns and setting up peace. But there's a way to have peace, and there's a way that leads to war. And General MacArthur understood, at least on some level, that there had to be a change in the way mankind thinks. And notice something else that's interesting, too, about the way Satan influences this world and influences the violence and the warfare and the fighting between individuals and nations. This is in Revelation 12 and verse 9. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan," notice this, "which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels," or his demons, "were cast out with him." Satan's on this earth. His demons are on this earth. People may not see them physically because they are spirit, but we can see the fruits of what they're doing. We can see the violence. We can see the division. The U.S. has never been as divided in recent times anyway as it is now. It's getting very divisive. There's a spirit behind that. There's a spirit behind that. It says Satan deceives the whole world. The whole world. You know, that also includes false religions. You know, it's easy to look at a war-mongering dictator like an Adolf Hitler and say, yeah, that's clearly not the right direction of thinking. But what about false religions? They look pretty good on the surface. That's what the Bible talks about, you know. It appears good. It has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. Doesn't follow God, but it talks about God. Different religions do. False Christianity does, for sure. And there are other false religions. What about that? I mean, Satan does come as an angel of light. In other words, he deceives people. They think he's God. They think he's good, when in fact he is the devil, and he does deceive the whole world. You know, oftentimes wars start as a result of false religions clashing and fighting. There has to be a change in the thinking of man. There has to be a change away from false religion to true religion, to truly worshiping God. There has to be a change if there will ever be peace in individual lives and in the world at large. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong, he spoke on his radio program, The World Tomorrow. At the end of World War II, he was living through that time, and he was speaking about the problem of human survival. And he said, "Before the end of the war in Europe, we heard a lot of talk about this being the last war." And, of course, that's what was said after the end of World War I as well. It was a war to end all wars, right? Well, World War II came along. Well, that's the war to end all wars. Well, and wars haven't stopped, and now we haven't seen a world war since, but we've had a lot of other wars, and things are leading to a final war. Mr. Armstrong said, "At San Francisco, I heard the United Nations Conference warned time and time again by speakers for different nations that the United Nations organization there being drawn up was the world's only and last hope of peace." They put all their hope into the United Nations. We can get together, we can have this sort of overseeing body of nations, and they'll keep peace. Of course, they've had a pretty corrupt history. He said, "A little later, we began to hear the top generals, admirals, statesmen, and news commentators speaking about if there is another war." That was, of course, right after World War II there. But then he said, "But now it is no longer if, but those same men in position to know." So these are people that do know and did know at the time what was going on in the world. He said, "They speak today only of when and how." So that's a really an excellent point to consider. And just stop and think about it for a moment. I mean, do you hear anyone in the position of authority say, "Well, if there's ever another war," you know, you don't hear that. Now, they may not talk about it a lot, depending on what their agendas are, but people don't talk about war in the sense that, well, if there ever was another one. It's more a matter of, well, when there is one and how it will happen and what will be the result of it and can we stop it and things of that nature. I think everyone knows there's going to be war at some point. There's division. There has to be. The only thing that's maybe preventing it as far as mankind would be concerned is, well, we don't want to destroy ourselves. You know, we could destroy each other. We don't want to do that, even though maybe we don't all get along. We just can agree that we don't want to be destroyed. So we have this mad or this mutually assured destruction, and therefore no one will fire off a nuclear weapon because, well, then we'd all die, right? In the retaliation and the fallout from it. That's man's best hope, I guess. Now, of course, things are in God's hands, and he allows wars or prevents them, and, you know, according to what he's working out. And he lets man go their own way, but he does prevent things for a time. He does allow his work to get done. He does keep doors open for his work and his warning message. But there is another war coming. There is one coming. And we have to understand what Bible prophecy says about it, but also that there is peace coming. Mr. Armstrong said, "Let's look once again, then, to the real causes of war. Are you willing to hear the truth?" he said. "Do you want to know how war can be abolished permanently and how we can achieve a real and lasting peace?" He said, "You can't cure any sickness without finding the cause and removing that. Let's dare to boldly look, then, to the real cause." So, will a war come? Well, yeah, people believe that it will, and it will. The Bible says that it will, but we have to look to the cause of war. Because to know the cause of it means that we can eliminate that. We can change, and we can have peace. General MacArthur hit on it. Man has to change his thinking. Mr. Armstrong went on to explain that it is the government structures of this world, the Satan-inspired systems of rule, that is bringing us to the brink of destruction. You know, is the governments of the great powers of this earth, are they going to get together and have peace? Well, they're always fighting each other. At this time, even, but maybe a little more on the subtle end of things. But eventually it won't be so subtle. It'll be very much out in the open. Christ knew that we would come to this point of destruction, and he prophesied about this. And again, he prophesied about this very unique time in which you live, in which I live today. And we see this in Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. It says, this is Christ prophesying. It says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." You mean worse than World War II? Is that what Christ meant? It's what he says. A time of suffering that's never been. He says, "And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, alive," it should read. And that means, again, we're not talking about the spiritual salvation of people. Most haven't been called today, but we're talking about flesh, living. Being alive physically. There wouldn't be anything left alive physically, he says. "But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." So there's hope there. Because of God's elect, those days are going to be shortened. General MacArthur, see, he understood that we had entered a different time. Man could destroy himself. It was different. It hadn't been that way before. We entered into this end time that the Bible have so many prophecies that talk about. This time right before Christ's return, we had entered into this time. Christ foretold it. He foretold it. And so if we just sort of leave it at that, that's could be pretty hopeless, I suppose, or daunting. But we have to understand why this time of war and what is going to come from it. What's going to happen shortly thereafter. Christ was speaking about this time of great tribulation in Matthew 24 because he was answering a question. See, he had been asked a question, and he was answering it. The question is asked in verse 3 of Matthew 24. It says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" or the end of the age, the end of man's age, ruling over man. Satan ruling. When would that end be? And then Christ went on to answer there in Matthew 24, and of course we get to that point in verses 21 through 22 where he's talking about this time where there will be great tribulation. But that's the sign. See, that's a sign of his coming. When we get into that time period, we know that we're close to Christ's return, that time when we could have this great tribulation, and that threat has been hanging over us for many years because of the weaponry that mankind has, the ability to wipe all flesh off the earth. That time did not exist until the conclusion of World War II. Now that could seem like, well, that's a ways in the past, but it's not that long ago historically. We've had a window of time. God's given a window of time for his work to be done. But then comes this great tribulation. But then the great news is Christ returns, and he puts an end to wars. He solves the cause, begins to open up mankind's mind to his truth, offer them his Holy Spirit. And the thinking of man begins to change. So we have to be aware of the time of great danger that we live in. We don't want to bury our heads in the sand and pretend like everything's fine. We don't want to run around in a panic. We want to understand what the Bible says about the times in which we live and the result, ultimately, of Christ returning. That's the result of these times. Mankind has to be corrected. They have to see that, look, your way, cut off from God, has led to this. It's led to destruction. It's led to no flesh being saved alive if not for Christ returning and stopping it. And then people will be willing to be taught. They'll be willing to follow the admonition that we read about earlier where Christ said, become you perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. People will want to change. There'll be a change in the thinking of man. And of course, Satan will be put away. His deceptions will stop. And the spirit of murder and violence and hatred and warfare will be replaced with the Spirit of God, which is love. It's outgoing concern. And there's wonderful, wonderful fruits that come from that Spirit. And so the great news is that Christ is about to return. That's the time period we live in. We have to be aware of the time of great danger we live in, but also be aware of the time of great hope that we live in as well. And we wouldn't be able to come to this understanding without understanding the prophecies of God's Word. And so if you have not subscribed to the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course and signed up for that, please do so. It takes you through the prophecies of your Bible on many topics, including the cause of war and the cause of peace. Yes, it's a global issue, but it's a personal issue too. We all want to have peace in our lives. The same principles that work in individual lives, they work globally. And so we want to understand the seriousness of the times that we live in, but understand the time of great hope that we live in as well. That understanding comes from understanding the Word of God. That's all the time we have for today in this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.